The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
So we begin in the Middle East this morning. The long-term strategy avowed of the George W. Bush administration, anyway, after the invasion of Iraq, was to create an alliance that would allow a lasting U.S. military presence in Iraq as a counterbalance to Iran, with a greater profile than would ever be possible in the region in Saudi Arabia. The U.S. experience in Iraq was to be an example to formerly radical Arab nations of the value of democracy, the value of open markets, and the value of cooperation with the West. It didn't quite turn out that way, of course. The Obama administration will pull essentially the last of the U.S. troops out of Iraq by the end of this year. But the Bush vision of an enlarged and more or less permanent U.S. presence in the heart of the Middle East may be moving next door into Kuwait. Our partner, the New York Times, is reporting that the Obama administration is planning a buildup in the Persian Gulf region after the military departs from Iraq by the end of December. This escalated military presence would be stationed in Kuwait. Joining us from the New York Times is diplomatic correspondent Stephen Lee Myers. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Do you think that this presence in Kuwait represents a continuity with the Bush mission of a permanent U.S. presence outside of Saudi Arabia and as a counterbalance to Iran, or something fundamentally new?
You know, it's actually a continuity with the vision of the first President Bush going back to 1991.
Wow.
You'll remember after the Persian Gulf War when Iraq under Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, and then President Bush then organized a coalition that repelled that invasion and freed Kuwait again. Ever since then, the United States kept a combat brigade, at least, in Kuwait, all the way up until the time of the war with Iraq in 2003.
So this doesn't represent backing into Kuwait from what had been a vision in Iraq. It just means an enlarging of what was always the mission since the first Bush administration.
You know, I was just talking to somebody from the Bush administration just last week, and they said all along that while they made an agreement with Iraq to withdraw all the troops by this December, I mean, this deadline that President Obama is meeting was set by President Bush, they always envisioned that there would be a longer-term U.S. presence inside Iraq, a training presence, the kind of, you know, if not permanent base, but at least a long-term presence like you had, say, in Korea. The fact is that this administration, and both in the United States and in Iraq, couldn't come to an agreement on how many troops that would be and what they would do.
We're speaking with Stephen Lee Myers, who's the diplomatic correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And Stephen, what kind of force are we talking about here? Are we talking about a force large enough to be an intimidation, a deterrent, I guess, for any kind of a military action? Or are we talking about one which is basically a staging ground in case it's needed?
Well, what you have now in Kuwait is an enormous logistical operation to support the troops in Iraq. They've been there all along, so all of the heavy equipment comes into the ports in Kuwait and then drives north. What they're talking about doing now is returning to what they had after the invasion of Kuwait in the early 90s, and that's to have a combat brigade there, which is anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 troops. So it's a formidable presence. It can move very quickly. It could swing into action in Iraq if it needed to.
Stephen Lee Myers, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You know, what do administration officials say about the possibility that this presence in Kuwait, once a withdrawal from Iraq is more or less complete, would then become a target and would encourage things like, you know, al-Qaeda in Kuwait or al-Qaeda in the Persian Gulf or basically the Western target of choice for terrorists would become suddenly a destabilized Kuwait?
Well, the fact is that our bases, our embassies, you know, our presence anywhere in much of the world, not just the Middle East, is a target for terrorists. I don't think they think that having an extended presence inside Kuwait will necessarily increase that threat at all. I mean, remember, Kuwait is a very friendly country to the United States.
So what does this alliance get us in terms of counterbalancing Iran? Does it do anything that we might otherwise be able to do just from Washington?
Well, there's a lot more in the Persian Gulf than just Kuwait. There's the Gulf Cooperation Council, which represents the six countries along the Persian Gulf: Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. And in addition to this presence that they're negotiating now with the Kuwaitis, the United States would like to integrate the militaries of these six nations with our military much more closely so that they can cooperate on things like naval exercises, air patrols, and very importantly, missile defenses in the region.
And what about the issue with the Saudi Arabia? There's always been sensitivity among the Saudi royal family of having a significant U.S. military presence inside Saudi Arabia. Does this counterbalance that, or does it possibly encourage Saudi Arabia to be more forthcoming about basing U.S. materiel on its soil?
I think that the Saudis, well, first of all, we're not going to base anything in Saudi Arabia. That was, as you pointed out earlier, a source of great tension and antagonism towards people who, you know, wanted to attack the United States. Right now, I think that the cooperation with the Saudis is pretty good, and they would like it to be better. And you can do a lot of training and exercises with the Saudis that doesn't require a U.S. base on their territory.
And finally, does this mean once the conflict in Iraq, reaches a stage of dormancy and it's pretty much a domestic issue for the Iraqis, sad for them, but not necessarily an international issue anymore, does the U.S. then become the sort of policeman of the Persian Gulf itself, keeping those oil lanes open?
As it has been, really, since World War II. I mean, the naval base that we have in Bahrain has been there since the 40s. You remember the escorting oil tankers in the 80s.
Sure.
Iran, remains a threat and a belligerent nation towards its neighbors. And many in the region are very wary of Iran for that reason. So, I think the U.S. will continue that role in the Persian Gulf.
And no concern that the instability in Bahrain over the last year is going to have an impact on the base there.
That did raise a lot of concern, certainly in the administration on the diplomatic side, people who were concerned about human rights. But I think the government of Bahrain has done a lot to assuage the concerns of the administration. And frankly, they have to deal with Bahrain. So I know the administration and Secretary of State are pushing Bahrain to try to be more open and impose some reforms and not crack down so hard on some of the Shiites who live there and are protesting against the government, but ultimately they need them for this.
Indeed. Stephen Lee Myers, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, looking at the strategic view of the post-Iraq war Persian Gulf, which includes an enlarged presence in the nation of Kuwait. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.